Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, November 20th. Having a great week, talking about getting ready for the holidays, preparing for the holidays, and Thanksgiving right around the corner, and then the end of the church year, and Advent begins. And you can tell Advent begins as I was in the studio this morning. They were wheeling by the bones of the Christmas tree here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center. I guess I should call it the Advent tree. It doesn't have any ornaments on it yet or any chrismons or anything, just light. So perhaps it's the Advent tree. It's bare bones. So getting ready for the holidays. That's what we're talking about today on Faith and Family. Great stuff lined up. We're going to talk about some resources to help your family and some ideas to help your family observe Advent at home and how to maintain your sanity while traveling with children. Joining me in the studio this morning also, throughout the show today, Amanda Markle, expert mom and making her radio debut today. Thanks so much for being in the studio with us today, Amanda.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We're going to get to her ideas later on in the show about how to observe Advent at home with the family. So we'll talk about that. Joining us by phone in just a little bit, our friends from Concordia Publishing House. Before we get to them, I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org, and then look for the sponsor section. Click on the CUW logo, and that'll take you to their page. You can find out all about the great programs they have to offer and the locations where Concordia University, Wisconsin is available. And don't let the word Wisconsin deceive you. They're all over the place, including right here in St. Louis. If you have questions, you want to join the conversation today as we're talking with our guests about the topics of preparing for the holidays, you can join us as well. The number here in St. Louis is 314-821-0850. Outside of St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. Or even easier than that, email your questions to family@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to have your questions today as we're talking with our guests. Joining us by phone this morning, we are very blessed to have two guests from Concordia Publishing House. Joining us by phone, Tom Numla, editor from Concordia Publishing House. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
And also on the phone, Peggy Keady, editor from Concordia Publishing House. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning, Andy. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
You have to go on the radio to talk to each other, huh?
Yeah, we do. I'd like to say hello to Amanda, too.
Hello.
It's a fun day. Lots of ideas, lots of resources. This is kind of sensory overload, I bet, with all the fun stuff that we have lined up today. So Thanksgiving right around the corner, Advent right around the corner. You guys have, I was looking through the catalog, just a wealth of resources. What is it like at Concordia Publishing House when gearing up for Advent and Christmas? I bet you guys are doing that probably in the heat of the summer, right?
Perhaps even a little bit earlier than that. We're starting work now on 2014 Christmas resources here in the Sunday School Department.
Yes, it does take a year or sometimes a year and a half to develop some of these resources. So we sometimes we work on Christmas and Advent year-round.
So it's probably kind of hard to get in the mood in the middle of, I don't know, maybe it's kind of refreshing in the middle of 100-degree weather to start thinking about Advent and Christmas. What are some of the things, Tom, you mentioned Sunday school. What's coming up, what's available when it comes to Sunday school and children and families when it comes to Advent?
Well, our primary resource for the Christmas season is the annual Children's Christmas Service. We do try to produce a new one every year for Sunday schools, early childhood centers, and the like to use as they prepare to share the Christmas message with the families that they serve, with the larger congregation, and with the larger community. In 2013, our offering is a children's Christmas service based on that familiar hymn, Silent Night, Holy Night. The service is a fairly traditional in terms of content. It shares the Christmas message in an effective and engaging way. But the wow factor for us this year is that we have created a PowerPoint program that picks up artwork from the Silent Night, Holy Night archbook, which Peggy has edited. And that artwork is available as a PowerPoint that can be displayed during the children's presentation.
And you mentioned archbooks as well, Silent Night, Holy Night archbook. I noticed just recently that archbooks are becoming available on through the iTunes store. Is that correct?
We do have a small selection of art books available for iPad, and you would go to the iTunes store and search for Concordia Publishing House or Arch Books, and those books will show up. There are 16 available for iPad. Yeah.
Excellent. And that makes it really kind of convenient because then you can have it with you. You know, the hard copies obviously are great. The actual printed books are great. The iPad, then you can have them with you, you know, wherever you're carrying your iPad. And chances are folks are carrying iPads with them just about everywhere these days. I know mine goes with me. Well, I use mine a lot for work, and so it goes with me everywhere. But I can imagine our little boy probably is going to enjoy these books, Arch books, when he, well, probably pretty soon. He's already starting to listen a little when we read to him. So,
yeah. Now, we say the age range for Arch books starts at about 5, but certainly I know my grandkids, my daughter, we used Arch books with them well before 5 years old. But now the one that that Tom references for the Children's Christmas Service on a Silent Night is one of our best-selling Christmas books. That one is not available for iPad, but one of the things that that we've seen churches do is when they use CPH's Children's Christmas Service, they might buy a related Arch book to distribute to all the children that participate in that service as a gift from the congregation.
That's a great idea.
So this is one of the things they could do with this visual approach. With the artwork being shown on a PowerPoint and the themes of the well-known carol incorporated throughout this whole service, then the takeaway could be this Arch book that keeps that message and that theme going in the home.
I know that we got the whole collection of Arch books for my nephews, and my sister said that if I ever wanted them, you know, for my son, that I wouldn't be able to get them because she uses them too.
She won't
no
share.
Huh?
You'll have to buy your own.
That's content. Right. She said she uses them when she's going to Bible study and she doesn't quite understand everything that's going on in Bible study. She'll go back home and read the Arch book on the topic.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great way. We do include that a page at the back of each book that's just for adults, where we give some background to that in the context of the Bible story. So I'm glad to know that.
Excellent. So Christmas program, the Christmas service for children, other things, Tom, in your area that come to come up around Advent and Christmas?
Aside from our standard children's Christmas Sunday school lessons, which are a part of our rotation, we do celebrate Advent and Christmas every winter quarter. In the weeks of December. So those are available for congregations to use. But that's about it from the Sunday school department.
Peggy, when it comes to families and the things that CPH has to offer, resources, I know you just have a Christmas catalog full, but what about Advent in preparing for the season? Any ideas to help the family prepare for Advent?
We do have a couple of Advent books that are very popular, and we've had them in print for a number of years. One of them is called Getting Ready for Christmas, and it's a very simple devotional. There's a short reading, a prayer, and a quick activity for each day during Advent. And there are two versions of this book. One is a hardback, and in the back of that hard book is a lift the flap Advent calendar, and then the other is a little mini book. It's only $1.50. And I think we even have quantity pricing available on that. But so the little mini book is perfect for little hands. The content is the same. So if a parent wanted to use this in the home, I would say get the hardback book. We have it available for $7.99, and it's a book, devotional, activity, and Advent calendar all rolled into one. Or if a classroom wanted to use that resource, the teacher could have the hardback book, which would be a perpetual resource then. She would buy it once and not have to replace that. And then the little mini book might be an Advent gift or an Advent resource for each student in her class. Now, we also have a number of Christmas books. And one of my favorites that helps children get ready for Christmas is a book that's called What Happened to Merry Christmas. And it's a narrative. It takes a, a little boy through all these questions and all these things that we see in our everyday life, lights on the tree and wreaths, and the point of the book is to find Christmas, or to see Christmas, to see the Christmas of Jesus Christ wherever we are and everywhere we look. So if we go to a store, we're Christmas shopping, and that clerk might not buy that employer's rule, that clerk might not be able to say Merry Christmas, but the child will still see Merry Christmas wherever he is. Hmm. So that's a nice resource for families. We have a Christmas sticker book. We have a book called Christmas Around the World that teaches about Advent and Christmas traditions throughout the world. That's a great fun resource. We have a number of things that families can use in the home, or that educators can use in the classroom to help teach about Advent, to teach about the coming of Christ and why and how we celebrate His birth.
Amanda, what are some of the things that is there anything that you all have used that you've liked from CPH that help you with Advent? I know we're going to get to your ideas later on, how to celebrate and observe Advent at home. Anything from Concordia Publishing House that off the cuff that you can think of that are great resources?
Yeah, one of our family's favorite books is The Real Story of St. Nicholas.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
The children really like seeing how that legend came to be and where it started from. And, you know, it's just a nice way to... We don't usually pay attention to a lot of the commemoration days during the church year, but that one falls during Advent, so we always make sure we read it on that day, and it's just another way we can tie in the church year even more specifically into Advent.
And when does that... I know you're going to know, Amanda. When is St. Nicholas Day?
December 6th.
December 6th. December, so a month before Epiphany.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. So a great way to really kind of kick off the first part of the season, too, that commemoration. So, excellent. Peggy, other resources that, other things, items you might point us to?
Well, we do have a range of books for children of all ages. We have some board books for very young children. Angel is a very popular one. We have a touch and feel Christmas book that is a tactile, interactive book that toddlers especially gravitate to. And then for older students, we have more in-depth explanations about the weeks or the days that lead up to Christmas and the events of Christmas night. And those, even though they are specific to Christmas, they certainly are a great way to help the family observe Advent, and to maybe a family would read a book a night, a Christmas book a night, and just continually prepare their minds and learn different aspects about the days and the weeks that led up to the first Christmas. So one of those is a CPH classic, The Very First Christmas, written by Paul Meyer, that gives a lot of history, a lot of detail, mm-hmm. a lot of factual information about those days.
And the illustrations as well.
Oh, yeah.
Are just outstanding. I know we're going to, later on, we'll be talking about Advent wreaths, but Advent wreaths or nativity sets that might be special or something unique about them?
Well, I think that both of those items, a wreath and a nativity set or a creche, are important in the home. Families can definitely use those items as tangible learning tools to teach young children and to remind older children, to remind themselves about the symbolism and the facts of Christmas. Now, one of the things that my family does is when we set up our nativity set, we have one that my daughter made when she was young. It's a ceramic set that she painted and fired, and we don't have the shepherds or the wise men when we set that up. First, we move Mary and Joseph closer on Christmas Eve night. We put baby Jesus in the manger. We bring the shepherds in on Christmas morning, and then the wise men we put even in another room. So we march them closer and closer as the days pass. That's just my family's little tradition, but
yeah,
I also decorate with a lot of Christmas books. I lay them on every tabletop, and of course I have CPH's books there, but I have a lot of other Christmas books as well that I use.
Imagine an editor decorating with books for the holidays.
I know.
so unique. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great idea, though.
To cycle back to Amanda's great idea about celebrating St. Nicholas Day, that's the day that our family has always chosen to do the Christmas stocking tradition, kind of akin to the St. Nicholas shoe gifts, where the children would put their shoes out and have them filled with candy. Apparently, as part of the St. Nicholas's legend. That we chose to use that evening and morning as the opportunity for our kids to hang their Christmas their wreaths their stockings and enjoy that tradition without it becoming a great focus on Christmas Eve.
And
you don't have chocolate in your shoe.
Chocolate in their shoe. It's kind of like chocolate in your shoe, I guess. sock instead.
And what are some ideas? What might go in that shoe or that stocking? What are some ideas that you all might recommend? I see some interesting things in the catalog here. Some fun things for children that you might point us to. Peggy, yeah.
Oh. I think that this little mini book, The Story of Christmas, is a great little stocking stuffer for a day like that. Or we have mini nativity sets. That would be a likely item to put in a stocking. You could put in a candle, even those little battery-powered candles that are so popular now and much safer than a candle with a flame. one for every week during Advent.
Amanda was agreeing about the open flames.
Definitely.
Good. We also have a line of products at CPH called 313 Christian Gifts, and one of the themes in that product line is the promises of Christmas. There are a number of smaller items in among those things that could become stocking stuffers or little gifts for children. There's a Promises of Christmas 3D hanging ornament and a number of small books that go along with that theme. There's also an Advent wreath with devotionals called The Promise of Christmas that's available, and I think it's even on sale right now.
And I noticed there are some other activities with the promises of Christmas, the 3D ornament, the Advent wreath, and the Christmas angel, all different like hands-on type activities that go with those as well, the promises of Christmas.
Yes.
Some neat stuff. What about yesterday on Faith and Family, we got to talk about music for the holidays, for Advent and Christmas. Music, CPH have any good music for the holidays that you might point us to?
Oh my!
That's out of my realm. I think I'll let
yeah, I think you just exceeded both of our pay grades. let me say confidently, I'm sure that we do, and we'll look forward to putting our music editor Peter Reske on your program soon for the purposes of talking about those things. There are a number of CDs that include compilations. I'm thinking of Hymns of the Season CD that we put together a few years ago. It's Hymns of the Church Year, which includes a couple of Christmas and Advent favorites. There's a number of songs in the CD set that we produced for our day school curriculum called Hymns of the Season. We don't focus in our curriculum area too exclusively on just any one church season, unfortunately. So,
with folks thinking, I'm sure in the next few weeks, time to start their shopping. Not necessarily just Christmas items, but items that might make fine gifts for St. Nicholas Day or for Christmas or whatever, whatever time. Maybe there are birthdays too coming up. Other gifts that you might point us to. I was looking through the Christmas catalog and it's quite lengthy, but other gifts, gifts for children, gifts for teens, gifts for older adults that you might point us to?
Well, you mentioned the Christmas catalog. I think that that's a great place to start, and we have a variety of items offered there for just about everybody on your list. And then CPH's website also has categories that I always shop the sale rack. We have a sale going on almost all the time, or a new releases section. So if I were to lead people to CPH's as a place to shop for gift items, I would start with the gift catalog, and then maybe expand to some of the other departments.
Sure, and we'll post a link to that as well with our program today, so that they can, if they listen to the archive today, that'll take them straight to the cph.org website as well.
Great.
So, lots of great stuff. Looking through that catalog, it's kind of overwhelming. Actually, it's kind of sensory overload. All the good stuff. The 120 Bible stories and 120 Bible stories activity book. Mm-hmm. What age group is that geared toward?
The 120 Bible stories is really geared toward the preteen and confirmation age child, grades five and up. It does include a Bible story, 120 of them, obviously, split evenly between Old and New Testament, with a presentation of the Bible story in ESV text and some discussion questions and the like. If your family doesn't yet have a story Bible from CPH, that children's Bible is certainly a must have for the family to have. It's a great gift for a child, or for a family that you know that maybe doesn't celebrate Christmas as much in a Christian way. That's certainly a great gift.
Sure, we have a newborn. Well, he's 2.5 months old at home now, and we've been reading the new story Bible to him since before he was born.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
We've almost gotten to the point where he doesn't cry when we read to him.
If we have an opportunity, I sure would love Peggy to be able to share that we have a free resource that we're offering for the ladies in our congregations that maybe might still be of use for a congregation looking for a resource for an LDML or similar program.
Tell us about the
Advent resource, Peggy.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I'm happy to talk about it. As Tom said, it's a free resource. It's available through our website, www.cph.org. It's an Advent by Candlelight planning guide. I know that a lot of congregations have this kind of event for women early in Advent, and this planning guide includes every possible thing that a team might need to help them host such an event. We even include sample programs. So we have 3 sample programs that they can adapt for their setting. And again, it's free. You just download it. You have to go through the checkout process, but there's no charge for it. It's 52 pages, and it includes forms and decorating ideas and these 3 programs. There's a timeline for when to do what and how to do it and how to divide up the tasks. And, if an ambitious team were available now, they could probably even get one planned and set up for this year.
Excellent. Well, there you have it. Great ideas and resources from Concordia Publishing House. With about 30 seconds, anything else before we go?
A quick note on the Advent by Candlelight resource, to locate it most easily, use hyphens between those 3 words, Advent hyphen by hyphen Candlelight. Yeah. It'll come up and be available for free. We're just delighted that we've been able to share as much as we have, Andy, about the resources that are available.
Wonderful.
We certainly wish your listeners a wonderful Advent season as they prepare for that nativity.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks, Tom, for being with us today.
Yes, you're most welcome.
And Peggy Keady, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Andy. It's my pleasure.
Stick around, folks. We're going to talk about traveling with children over the holidays right here on Faith and Family, how to maintain your sanity. That's a big grin. Stick around. More on Faith and Family right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Autism researchers are excited about a breakthrough. They've identified several gene networks common in autism, and they're working on a blood test to identify autism in children as young as 1 year old. This is great because it'll provide early treatment with better results. But this breakthrough may have a devastating downside. Autism results from a disruption of the production of brain cells during the 4th, 5th, and 6th months of pregnancy. If the blood test in development is eventually able to be applied to babies in the womb, they'll be targeted for killing by abortion. Over 90% of unborn babies diagnosed with Down syndrome are aborted. Unless advocates of children with autism stand in the gap, we'll see the wholesale slaughter of these defenseless babies.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Less than 1% of the folks who had asked God for something and had gotten what they had asked for came back to give a public thank you. Less than 1%. Boy, I was fried at the ingratitude. Then, by God's grace, I got unfried.
Pastor Ken Klaus, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
This is John Fuller, and on the next Focus on the Family, we'll examine the Christmas tree, presents, Santa, and Jesus. You know how all of those are really connected? Join us for a lively discussion about the true meaning of Christmas with Phil Vischer, the creator of VeggieTales and Jelly Telly. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Weekdays at 9:30 on KFUO.
The wife of an Idaho pastor who's imprisoned in Iran says he's been allowed a visit from his Iranian father. Pastor Zaid Abedini has been in Iranian custody for 14 months and is serving an 8-year sentence for undermining state security, a charge his family denies. Nagma Abedini says her husband was allowed a visit Monday from his father.
He did say Zaid had lost weight and his health had deteriorated.
In a prison rife with hardened criminals and inmate violence, she fears that as the U.S. negotiates to curb Iran's nuclear program.
If Iran walks away with a deal and Saeed's not part of the deal, then he could stay there for the 8 years if he survives it. I seriously don't think he's going to survive another month in there.
At home in Boise, Nagme says she and the couple's two small children keep praying he'll be freed.
I really have to depend on my faith on a daily basis to just not freak out and not lose it. And I have to continue. I have to continue fighting for his release.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, November 20th, and we are having a great time talking about preparing for the holidays, and even things are starting to look a little more holiday-rific around here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center. But, you know, what the holidays brings, quite an interesting topic, visiting relatives and traveling, and we're bringing back one of our expert moms, Jackie Meyer from Churubusco, Indiana. Why are you laughing at that?
I just think it's funny. I mean, I guess I am an expert mom at this point. I mean, when you mother for 10 years straight, almost 11 now without stopping, I suppose that makes you an expert in your field. But
there's no stopping. Well, Jackie, you've been on before talking about a variety of topics when it comes to children homeschooling, and you were on our first Moms Roundtable today. And during those conversations, I thought, man, and following you on Facebook and your blog, we've got to get some ideas from her on how to travel with children, how to make it through. And Amanda and I were talking before the show, and she's like, that just doesn't work for us. We just don't travel.
Right. We don't travel very often, but we traveled a lot this year. So in the same 2-week period, which made it even crazier. But
I remember reading about your preparations. It was meticulous.
It was. It was very pointed and very intentional, I'll tell you that, because I figured when we were traveling, we went on an all-Meyer family vacation in September, where my husband's entire family, we all get together every other year and go on vacation somewhere. And this was about a four and a half hour trip up to Michigan. And then a week after we came home from that, actually less than that, about 5 days after we came home from that, we headed down just our immediate family to Orlando to Disney World. So we had, that was about a 15-hour drive when you added stops in on the way down and the weather and all that. It was 19 hours, but
you should see the look of fear in Amanda's eyes.
By fire.
You should see the look of fear in Amanda's eyes when you said 15-hour drive with your family. Now, how many children in the Meyer household?
Well, we have four. We have four girls. We took all four of them to Michigan with us, but we only took three to Disney. We left our 2-year-old at home because we didn't know how she would do with traveling and how she would do down there, and we figured she would just, you know, make us miserable and we'd make her miserable, and we thought, you know what, let's just leave her at home with Grandma, which we had to bring her down off of Grandma Detox after we got home. But it really was a good decision, and it made everybody's trip go very smoothly.
Now, you bring up a good point, Grandma Detox. I think that's going to be our topic of discussion around, say, January 2nd.
It's one of those things, but it's a blessing and a curse. So it's it all went really well, and I just figured it was my job in the house just to prepare everyone and to keep everyone occupied during our trip. So I did a whole lot of research and read a whole lot of blog posts and lists and things like that, and just made some good decisions on what I thought was best for.
See, that's the teacher in you, doing all the research beforehand and all the preparations.
I know. I just figure being prepared gives me the best chance of everyone keeping their seats. So that's the most important thing, especially when you're all crammed into a vehicle and driving so many hours.
So. Absolutely. So how far out before the trip did you start working with the kids? What did you start doing, and how far in advance did you do that?
Our kids, they knew we were going on our Michigan trip, but we didn't tell our kids we were going to Disney until a couple weeks before we left, just because we didn't want all the, oh, how soon is it going to be, and that kind of thing. But
I wouldn't tell them until the day we got in the car.
Well, I wanted them to be prepared for the drive, you know, so I thought they really need to be prepared to drive 15 hours in the van, you know, to be sitting buckled in, we're not getting out, you know, that kind of thing. I wanted them to be prepared, and that's one of my big things I would say is to be overly prepared. You have to be very patient. You have to be very flexible with your rules. You know there are going to be intense moments with traffic or traffic jams or weather. I mean, it rained on us on our way to Disney for 8 hours of our trip, and it was miserable to drive. And I mean, it was pouring at some points, and I could hardly see the road at some points, and I mean, it was just nuts. So it was very intense, but you know, we had planned well, and you know, those kinds of things are unavoidable, so we needed to just make the best of them while we were in the van.
And when you say rules, and the rules need to be flexible, you mean the rules for parents, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. But just being flexible, you know, we don't typically let our kids eat snacks and treats whenever they want. But on a long trip like that, we just stuffed them in their bags and we said, this is what you get. You know, you might want to ration that out throughout the day. But if you want to sit there and eat, you know, 6 Starbursts, go for it. You know, we don't usually parent in the whatever makes you happy kind of a method, but for traveling, if you want to drink your whole water bottle now, or you want to eat your whole bag of popcorn right now, go for it, because you know, that's where you have to be, I think, when you're traveling that far.
To be flexible and accommodating for them. Now,
yes,
with snacks and everything at all places all over the time, does that mean more frequent bathroom breaks, or how do you plan for breaks?
Well, we knew we would have to stop for gas. Any time that you take breaks. We make everybody go to the bathroom. And I am not above paying people for going to the bathroom. We take quarters. I say you go to the bathroom. You try to go to the bathroom, you get a quarter. You go to the bathroom, you get two quarters. You know, I mean, it's you want them to go. And, I mean, my older kids all know, yes, we're going to go to the bathroom. You know, my five-year-old, it's a little more bribery going on. Again, for traveling, that's what we do. I want them to go. I don't want to have to stop in a half an hour from now. You know, we make them stop. We just tried to get as far as we could every time. And, you know, when you stop to have lunch somewhere, we're having kids doing cartwheels out in the grass, running around trees, all kinds of things like that. I mean, you want them to move and get that energy out.
Oh, so when other people are traveling around you, oh, there's the Meyer family.
Yes. We did stop at this McDonald's, and seriously, this lady's like, oh, are you really getting some of that energy worn off, huh? And we're like, yep. You know, I mean, they knew exactly what we were doing, but good things for that, you know, pack some jump ropes, a couple jump ropes, maybe a ball or two. Beach balls are great because, you know, you can mush them down and stuff them in your glove box or whatever. But
and wear the kids out when you tell them they have to blow them up.
Yeah, there you go. That can be an activity in the van on the way to, you know, 5 minutes from where you're going. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Great advice. Bring a jump rope. I wouldn't have even thought of that because it packs up nice and small. It doesn't take up a lot of space.
Frisbees, that kind of thing. Those are great. Like, they don't take up a lot of space at all, but you can just pull them right out real fast.
Sure. Yeah. A great way to stop. Now, with the holidays, you know, if you're not traveling in a warm climate, you might need to find something else, another way to get that activity out if it's cold outside. Just have them run around the car a couple of times, right?
Yeah, and even just, I mean, so many restaurants anymore have play places, and I actually read online somewhere, we're kind of behind the ages here, but we don't have iPhones and things like that, but I've heard that there are apps that actually tell you where restaurants are with play places in them and things like that, so you can easily find a spot like that if you're traveling.
Great advice.
Yeah.
Plan out your stops. I know that my sister has a teen and a preteen and travels during the summer. And I know that she's a teacher. What is it with the teachers and the planning? She's a teacher as well and plans out all their stops as well when they travel during the summer because she has the whole summer off and they camp all over the country. So she's pretty good about planning out those stops as well ahead of time. So having a plan beforehand is what I'm hearing you say.
Oh, yeah.
Giving the kids enough notice so they can start thinking about what it means to be sitting in a car for 15 hours or 8 hours at a time, whatever it might be. Other points?
For just trying to make the trip go a little faster and not have all of these, are we there yet? Are we there yet? We printed out a piece of paper that had the numbers 1 through 20 on it, basically. And we had our little Mickey Mouse ears on number 15, so they knew when we left there, 15 hours left to drive. And every hour that we would drive, we would move that back. And so they could tell how many hours more, you know, it was until we would get to our destination. So that was a really great visual for them because it's hard to say, oh, it's 10 more hours. You know, they don't really necessarily get that. That's a big number when you're talking time. So that was a great visual that they could see how much closer we were getting every hour. And we did the same thing on the way home. So that was really well, worked really well for us.
So traveling to visit relatives over the holidays, you could put a picture of grandma and grandpa or somebody else on there at that, you know, on the hour that you should be arriving.
Absolutely. And you could even put, you know, like a little McDonald's sticker or a little food sticker or something, you know, something where they would even know after we drive 3 hours, we're going to stop and have lunch, you know, or after we, you know, we're going to stop for a snack here or whatever. But packing a supplies kit is a wonderful idea. I mean, we talked about snacks a couple minutes ago, but even with snacks, we always try to pack things that aren't crummy. So you don't want to pack a lot of crackers necessarily. I mean, you can, but you have the crumbs and things to
right. You're going to pay for it
later. But like string cheese, grapes, bananas, pretzels, carrot sticks, granola bars. The tubes of yogurt, nothing that has to have a spoon. You know, you don't want anything with a spoon. But juice boxes tend not to work well, especially with younger kids because of the squeeze factor. You do water bottles because even if water gets spilled, it dries. Mm-hmm. It's not sticky. It doesn't stink like milk or anything like that. Sippy cups, of course, seem to work best for the kind of the 4 and under crowd. The water bottles work better for the 5 and over crowd. But fed children tend to be happier children, so that's always a good way to go. But a supplies kit is a really great thing that we put together. We put wet wipes, paper towels, extra plastic bags, some Ziploc bags. Medications are really, I mean, you don't always think to put those in your, up front with you. But Tylenol, Motrin, that kind of thing. Motion sickness medicine, we had to stop and pick some of that up because we didn't take any, and one of our kids got a little car sick. And so that was a blessing when we found that. Bandages, even a flashlight, small trash can in your vehicle would be a blessing as well. Taking a lightweight change of clothes for each child, and extra diapers if you have a child in diapers, more than you think you need. Clothespins can be really handy if your kids start a bag of something and then you need to clip it up. Cookie sheets are great for kids to play on, draw with, eat on, that kind of thing, and you can just wipe them down with a wet wipe if they're dirty or messy. If you have a toddler or child who is potty trained but might be a bit unpredictable when it comes to pottying, you might want to consider even packing your little small potty that they may be potty trained with and an extra roll of toilet paper just in case you have to stop along the side of the road, on your way. That can be a blessing to not have to search for an actual business to find a bathroom.
Well, with just about a half a minute left, any other pointers for us, Jackie, as we're wrapping up our time?
I am just going to run through a couple of really good ideas to keep everyone occupied. Audiobooks are wonderful for the whole family. Colored pencils in lieu of crayons or markers, bring a sharpener with that. Coloring books, activity books. We encourage everyone to nap. It's the best way to pass time. And play I Spy, stickers and paper, magnet doodles, and play the alphabet game, do pipe cleaners. Make up stories and jokes. DVD players, of course, are wonderful. We get new movies from the library, borrow some from friends. Handheld gaming systems, Kindles, iPads, iPhones, all of those things. We also did a great incentive. We gave each of our kids a Ziploc bag that had $5 worth of quarters inside, and if they argued at all with a sibling, complained, had a bad attitude, anything like that, they had to pay us a quarter. Every time they got to spend the money when we got to Disney, they added it to what we were giving them already for a souvenir. So that was definitely a bonus to them, and it worked like a charm. And I think we only took two quarters away on the way there.
Wow. I had to think about the crayons versus colored pencils thing for a little bit, and then I realized it probably has to do with the temperature in the car.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want one of those melting on your floor. Definitely not.
So. Or on the seat, even worse.
Yes.
Great points. Thank you, Jackie. Excellent ideas. We always know that we can trust the teachers to do the research for us. So thank you so much for spending some time with us, Jackie Meyer from Churubusco, Indiana, one of our expert moms right here on Faith and Family. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thank you for having me, Andy.
Excellent. It is time to talk about Advent ideas, and Amanda's just been waiting. She's one of those teacher moms, too, one of those homeschool moms who does all the research and all the preparations. And every year, I see these pictures and these plans of what's coming up in the Markle household for Advent. And I think I want to go to school at their house because they always cover these really great topics and great material and they do some neat things. So what's in store at the Markle household for Advent? I know you guys do some really neat stuff.
Oh, we have a pretty standard rotation that we do every year. We do a Jesse tree. And, of course, every evening we light the candles on the Advent wreath for our evening prayer time. In the last couple of years, we've also added the observance of the Great O Antiphons, which has been a really nice extra kind of thing to do as we wind down each day in the week leading up till Christmas.
So let's break those down. Some of those might be kind of new things for many of us. First of all, you mentioned the Jesse tree. I've heard of it before. I don't know if I've actually... I've seen your pictures, but I don't know if I've seen one in person and really know the story behind it.
Well, a Jesse tree is sometimes referred to as Jesus' family tree. It's not a typical family tree in that it doesn't just focus on his ancestors, but the whole story of the plan of salvation from creation until his birth. And so throughout the days of Advent, you read about people like his parents or the prophets of the Old Testament. There's events such as the creation and the flood. Even the angels have a day for reading. And so you focus on one topic every day, and there's a corresponding Bible reading, and then there's a little ornament that you can hang. They can be as simple as you want. It could be a cardboard tree on the wall and paper ornaments, or it could be an actual Christmas tree with fancier ornaments. And so you add one of those every day. And the great thing about the Jesse tree is that instead of being like your traditional Advent calendar that's really just a December countdown, if Advent is longer than 24 days, there are readings for as many days as there can be in Advent. And so you're not sitting there waiting until December 1st to start. You can start on the first day of Advent.
And it's not that there's anything wrong with Advent calendars and chocolates, and we may talk about that later on, but it focuses on the readings for the day.
Exactly. It's all about Jesus and how God sent this plan into motion and all the things that happened. You read all of the, you know, the familiar prophecies in the Old Testament that everybody likes to hear at this time of year. And it just really helps you focus and take time to really think about why we celebrate Advent, and not just Christmas, but that whole season of preparation and waiting.
And I like how you pointed out that it could be as simple as you want or as elaborate as you want. It could be, like you said, a cardboard tree on the wall. It could be an artificial tree or a real tree that you use to decorate. Any of those would work. And simple decorations or elaborate decorations, just depending on your abilities and your creativity, I guess.
We got them out of a book, and the children colored them, and I had them laminated so that they'd last. And so they're really special to us because the children made them. And you can buy beautiful wooden ones off of Etsy or other, you know, websites. But there's something special about having the ones that your family made.
Well, certainly, because then there are memories associated with that as well. So when you hang that ornament on the Jesse tree, then you remember the time that you spent together as a family, or even as a child, remember how you made that ornament.
Exactly.
And so there's some memories. I was just thinking not too long ago that some of the smells from the holidays and from seasons and stuff that I remember that always bring back memories. And memories can certainly be good, that can help us remember some of the important things. So what a great gift your children will carry with them, and hopefully that tradition onto their families as they grow up as well. Okay, so you mentioned Jesse tree. Let's see, there was a second item, and then, Antiphons, what was the second? Oh, the Advent wreath.
Advent wreath.
And you said you use that every evening?
Yeah. I know a lot of people light them only on Sundays or Wednesdays, just once a week. We light ours every day, except usually Wednesdays because we're at church on Wednesday evenings. But we'll light the appropriate candles for the week. We say our evening prayers in front of the wreath instead of just upstairs like we normally do. And again, it's just a way to kind of make us stop and really focus, you know, and it's not just another thing to check off on the bedtime routine, but it kind of forces us to really slow down with it.
Do the kids help with lighting the candles?
Kind of. As they're getting older, you know, we trust them a little more. It used to just be, you know, our job to do it. But now that they're getting older, they can help with that.
Sure. Yeah. They can not set fire to the place, but learn the responsibility that comes with it as well. And that's nice, too, because then they look forward to it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned antiphons.
Yes.
Which I know some of our families that have a music background, and knowing the Markle family and Mr. Markle and his music background as well, how important the music during the holidays is to the Markle family. What are the O Antiphons?
The O Antiphons are an extra set of Bible readings in the week leading up till Christmas. So there's just seven of them. And they're all based on the prophecies of the Old Testament, and they also coincide with the verses of O Come Emmanuel. And so on a normal Advent wreath night, we begin by singing the first verse of O Come Emmanuel as a family. And then in that week leading up to Christmas, we also add the verse that fits with that prophecy. And they're all based on one of the names given to Jesus in the Old Testament. O Wisdom, O Lord, O Root of Jesse. And the kind of neat thing is if you arrange them from the last one to the first one in an acrostic, they spell out the Latin phrase arrow cross, which means tomorrow I will come. And so when you get to that last day, it's the day before Jesus' birth. And so then you finished it, you know, tomorrow I will come. It's just another neat little reminder.
Wow. It's kind of hidden in there.
It is. And they've been in use for over 1,500 years. I mean, I think monk probably sat down and had some fun, you know, arranging them in the right way so that they would have the biggest impact possible.
That's really fascinating. See, I learned something new every day on here. Did you say you sing them or read them or both?
We read the Bible reading, and then we also sing the verse of O Come Emmanuel that goes with it.
O Come Emmanuel. And we talked about that yesterday when we talked about songs of the season, O Come Emmanuel. So you sing it through the whole season of Advent then?
Yes.
That's really cool. Excellent. Now, are the kids, do they enjoy singing?
Oh, yes.
They have to in the Markle household.
Yeah, it's kind of a rule.
Now, how did you come across this? How did you come across the O Antiphons? What even caused you to stumble upon this?
Well, you know, I've been to Vesper services that go through all of the Antiphons. Mm-hmm. And it's just been in the last couple of years, I actually saw it on a Catholic blog where a blogger had ornaments for her Jesse tree that they, you know, they did the Jesse tree in the morning, mm-hmm. and then they added the ornament for the O Antiphon in the evening. And so that's what we've started doing too. And it's just, you know, anytime I can find a way for us to really be mm-hmm. intentional about the season, I like adding that in just throughout the day, little, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge thing taking up a lot of time, but just little things here and there.
Sure. And I know it in our churches, we, you know, I'll see the O Antiphons written in, you know, in part of the service, but don't even really quite often think twice about it. But what a neat way to bring that into the home too, and to really bring that Advent message home, that this Christ came into the world for us, took on our human flesh, and not only did he come as a baby in a manger, but Advent is also, as Pastor Wood mentioned earlier on Monday, that Advent also is not only a season to prepare for Christmas, but preparation for the return of Christ as well.
Exactly.
That that return that, you know, while his birth in a manger was kind of a rude birth and a rough way to come into the world and take on our human flesh, that's kind of a rude way. It's not going to be such a probably a smooth sailing sort of return. You know, I don't think it's going to be the same way, the way that we've romanticized Christmas. I don't think, even though it's nice and cozy and warm and hot cocoa and all those things, you know, I had my hot cocoa last night. It's it's almost December. I got to have hot cocoa every night. That return of Christ, while it will be a good thing for all believers, it's going to be a more than majestic mm-hmm. thing. And so stuff like this that you're mentioning that helps us step outside of that, the warm and fuzzy picture of Christmas and Christ, and see Advent for more than just that, more than just a warm and fuzzy, cozy time of year because it's cold outside and we're going to sit down and have good memories. We're going to do things as a family that point us to Jesus and Jesus coming into this world for us. With about a minute left, any other ideas from the Markle household or any advice for families as they're thinking about Advent?
Well, you know, I mentioned earlier when you were talking to the folks at CPH about St. Nicholas Day. We try to read about more of those commemoration days during the season of Advent. There's quite a few of them that fall. Ambrose of Milan, Santa Lucia. Even Katie Luther, her commemoration day falls during Advent. And there's just a lot of great stories that you can read and see how God has used people through his church through time. And, you know, really emphasize that he uses all kinds of people mm-hmm. to work his plans. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you are or when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at Mary's story in the Magnificat that we talked about on Monday. You know, that it doesn't matter, as you said, yes, where you are. Who you are, God's going to use whoever he chooses, whenever he chooses. And he has certainly done that. And we see that in the stories of Advent, how he works when and where he will and how he wants. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for spending some time with us today talking about, being a part of the whole show today. I know that, you know, we got to focus on your ideas during the last half, but thanks so much for spending some time with us, making the trip over to talk about ideas for families during Advent and what we can do to observe that season.
You're welcome.
So coming up tomorrow on Faith and Family, another great topic on preparing for the holidays. How to deal with the holiday blues. Therapist Janine Liebman and Dr. Rick Mars from Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis are going to come over and spend some time with us talking about how to deal with the blues over the holiday. Maybe you lost a loved one in the last year, or maybe it's your first Christmas or your 10th Christmas or Thanksgiving without that loved one. How to deal with it. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow on Faith and Family. Moments of Assurance up next right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.